Thank you.
I'd like to welcome you to the Senior Citizen Advisory Council Housing and Transportation Committee, April 13th at 9:35 a.m. And I am Chair Crystal Miles, and I'm calling the meeting to order. Sandy, would you mind giving the inspiration?
Oh, sure.
This is a book that I really like. It's about thank you. I think it's important to thank everybody for all their service for elderly people. I'll skip that bad word. It's one of them I like was, we must find time to stop and thank the people who make a difference in our lives. There are people who take the heart out of you. There are people that put it back. Be grateful, truly grateful for those good friends or thoughtful people. There are low spots in our lives, but there are also high spots, and most of them have come through encouragement from someone else. I didn't know until I was at odds with the world how much my friends who believe in me mean to me. If the people around you don't believe in you, if they don't encourage you, then you need to find some people who do.
That's awesome.
Very
applicable for any stage of life, right?
Yes.
Okay, if you would please rise, you can, and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm doing it. Am I doing it?
No, it's me.
I'll put the last one.
Okay.
Top my list. Sorry.
That's the table. I have to take the roll.
Okay, Charlene Ashenford is absent. She let us know she's in.
Yes, she did.
Okay, excuse absence. Denise Barnes. Elizabeth Busek
here.
Helen Cameron, we'll keep these numbers. Amelia Castro. Gary Chang.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Here.
Juno Kim. Crystal Miles. And Sandy Stan.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Public comment at this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdictions, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comment shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies a different time to start the meeting for all public speakers. Do we have any public comment?
Not at this time.
Nope. I would like to welcome Patty Raglan, who's a member of the public, who also sits on the Irvine Senior Citizen Advisory. So welcome. And we are going to start with our presentation. We have Sheriff. She works for Stanton Police, but she's a sheriff. So it's Deputy Sarah Shervani, who this is her niche. And she came to Villa Park and gave a fabulous presentation that was a little more broad spectrum, not just specific for older individuals, kind of just overall safety. And then I grabbed her and asked if she would do something specific to older adults. And of course she lied. We are so fortunate to have her. We're so happy you're here. Wait to hear the information that you have. So welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate Crystal asking me to come here again. We met at a Villa Park meeting. A little bit about my role. I'm actually a retired police officer. I've done 29 years in law enforcement. I did retirement for about a year, got a little bored and came back into law enforcement. My capacity right now, I am a civilian in this role. So all of Orange County Sheriff's jurisdictions, we have crime prevention specialists for each city. So for those of you who are in a sheriff jurisdiction, you do have a crime prevention specialist assigned to your city, as well as other cities. I know Irvine Police Department has a crime prevention specialist. But what our role is, is we see what's going on in our communities. And right now, although I cover Stanton, I am covering North Orange County cities while they get a crime prevention specialist in place. But our role is, you know, with law enforcement officers today, they're very busy. They go to a call, they handle a call, and then they're off to the next. So my job is to kind of see the big picture of what's going on in the community and see what hotspots and types of calls for service that we're going to, and if we can identify a problem. So one thing that is a problem, not just with elders or their senior community, but fraud is a big topic across the board. Fraud affects everybody. But today I want to talk about why specifically our seniors are such a target for elder abuse. Very passionate about crimes against persons because it's a very personal crime when someone targets you based on being a good human or your vulnerability or believing, you know, having trust in people. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You have to excuse me. I have to read my notes because my eyes are a little bad today. So I have to read off my paper. Is it just this one for the clicker?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to turn it on.
Okay, so this is just going to be some of the topics we're going to cover today. Okay, so statistics, these are a little bit old, but they're growing. In 2014, 2.6 million persons over the age of 65 were victims of identity theft. Those numbers today have now doubled or tripled. Over 13% of older Americans are victim of financial fraud a year, and only one in 44 cases are reported. So imagine if these are the cases that are reported. So if you can imagine the cases that were reported, what those numbers would be. And mostly the seniors that are targeted are ones with cognitive incapacity. Those are the ones that usually are targeted or suffer the most amount of loss when we're dealing with these types of crimes.
Why do you think so many are not reported?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
And yeah, that's going to be on one of my slides, but great question. Okay, so this is the U.S. population. So you can see from the 1900s how many seniors. By the year 2050, there's going to be 90 million seniors in the United States. So baby boomers are coming up. So imagine the more senior population we get, the more we're going to have crimes and fraud issues.
Sarah, quick question.
Yes.
Seniors.
Yes.
Are we talking 55 and older or 60 and older?
Good question. We are considering these types of crimes 55 and over.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
And again, I always hate to use the word seniors and elderly. It's not like it's a bad population of people because I'm almost there.
mature person.
But again, I just wanted to say that fraud impacts everybody of all ages, but today we're just focusing on this particular population of people. Okay, so basically, what is financial abuse? Basically, it's the illegal or improper use of a person's money or property. So this is a widespread problem that we're dealing with. We're going to talk about when it occurs, why it occurs, and the complications that come with it. And we're also going to talk about some warning signs that you could see with your elders if they are being a victim of financial abuse. So this is the most common ways that financial abuse occurs. One's through the mail. Like my mom and dad, they love their mail. They love going through. They go to, and my parents get targeted for everything. I have to go through their mail because they get Medicare and AARP stuff. And most of that is legit, but most of it is not legit. So a lot of times too, when they're home, they like, my parents are old school. They like paper. They like reading things. So this is probably the biggest target is through the mail. Secondly, is on the computer. I heard you guys talking this morning. The problem with computer fraud is, including myself, I'm not very savvy with computer technology. So teaching seniors like what to look for and what's good and bad on the internet, that's the biggest thing. And most of those come through email. Edison saying, we need your information. The IRS saying, we need you to give us your social security number. Biggest one is Medicare fraud. Provide us your Medicare number. Your Medicare number is pretty much the same as your social security. So you're giving them access to your personal information. We'll get a little bit more on computer stuff. On the phones, big one. How many people get their phones blown up every day with spam calls? I mean, it's out of control. And they're relentless, right? And they're smart. In law enforcement, it's very difficult for us to keep up with the technology of fraud because it changes every day. And they're smart. They change phone numbers. They're calling from out of the country. I will tell you that most fraud occurs in the country. Nigeria, Europe, Russia, China, although Korea. So that's mostly where our fraud is coming from. TV or radio, you know, ads on the TV, you know, quick fix. A lot of stuff on TV is geared towards like medications, stuff that helps your impairment, Medicare advertisements, refinancing your home. So they're just basically, I don't know if you've ever seen those commercials where it's just geared towards our senior population and they want you to call and then that's when the solicitation starts. And then of course in person, and that's usually the door-to-door people coming to your house and handing a flyer out or engaging in a conversation. And at the meeting in Villa Park, I tell anybody, whether you're senior or not, that when someone comes to your door, do not answer the door, okay? Because there's many reasons. We'll talk about that. But in person, I will tell you just a personal story. My parents are staying with me, or I'm taking care of my parents. And I come home and my mom's outside watering the garden and she's talking to some person. Is this person? He was from the church, and not that I'm not a trustworthy person, but I'm like, what are you, mom, what are you talking about with him? What is he asking you? Because I'm suspicious by nature. I go, mom, you can't do that. Like, it's not, unfortunately, in this day and age, you can't just randomly start talking to somebody and start, they're asking you personal questions. They're trying to befriend you and they're trying to build a relationship with you. My mom's the sweetest person, so she'll talk to anybody. So I have to have these conversations with my own mom about this kind of stuff. But these are the most common ways that financial abuse is occurring right now.
Did you say this person was from your mother's church?
No, they were saying they were from a church going around in our neighborhood. And here's the thing. Most cities, I will tell you, pretty much all cities, if you need to solicit in a city, you have to get a permit or a business permit. And I will tell you, most cities do not allow those type of permits. It's very rare. And the reason why they don't allow those permits is because they don't want people going to people's homes when they're not home, knocking on the doors. That's a whole nother layer of burglaries of why people solicit. Yes, sir.
Well, what they end up doing is getting a county business permit.
Yes.
They'll come into your city and say, no, I got a business permit. You have to have a city of Yorba Linda permit,
yes,
too. And when you ask that, they go, no, I don't have it. Then you're out.
Yeah, county permit does not trump a city's permit. So they have to have a city permit to solicit. They should have it around their neck posted with their ID and the actual
city. They know permit. That too.
Well, so then I can add on to that. So one of the reasons why the city makes them come get that permit is because then they give them the do not solicit list. So the residents for like in Villa Park, the residents who put their name on a do not solicit list, if like a solar panel guy is coming to do, you know, the solicitation, they get that list and they know who not to go to. So if you are on a do not solicit list with your city and you have somebody coming to your door, 100% they did not go to the city and get a permit.
And we'll do a little more vetting too of the person's applying.
I love when they come to my door because I
Sarah, on the TV and radio, that really surprises me that there's fraud stuff there, because for some reason I thought in the back of my mind that these TV stations would have to do some sort of due diligence in vetting people that pay for ads to put on the TV.
For them, it's a money business.
Wow.
Hey, most people think that. You're exactly right. Yeah. That's not true.
Yes.
Yeah. As you said, it's a money business.
It's a money business, unfortunately.
And people say, oh, I heard on TV, it must be true. No.
Right, yes. So it is a money business. They actually target certain hours of the day. So they know when seniors are awake, or they get early risers, they go to bed early. So they actually will target what time these type of commercials come on, and they do a census of, I'm not sure what the group is, but there's a census that monitors your watching of TV, and they kind of check at what times that occurs.
So when people come to our door, I can say, do you have a permit?
Yes. Yes.
From the city.
Absolutely.
From the city.
Yeah, here it is. Yes. Well, that's county. Do you have one from my city?
Yeah.
Well, no, this covers everything. No, it doesn't.
Yes. I mean, not that I want to engage with them.
I
don't open the door for
us. Just a side note on that, because that's a whole other topic I could talk about, but I always tell people, if you are home and someone does come to your door, don't open the door, but let them know you're home. Yell through the door, go away, I'm calling the police, you know, because they know you're home. Most of the time, if solicitors are up to no good, what they're doing is they're checking if you're not home. They're knocking on the door. They're looking through windows. They'll walk away and watch if anyone pops out to see who it was, if there's cars in the driveway. So if you have cameras at home, like a Ring camera, voice down to them saying, I'm home, go away, I'm calling the police, you know, just get them off your property. And it's sad, unfortunately, we have to behave and act that way. But at the end of the day, we're just protecting our property and someone coming to our property, because unfortunately, we don't know what their motives are. You know, maybe back 20, 30 years ago, that was a thing when people would go to your door and sell things. But even poor Girl Scouts can't come to the door anymore, you know.
I have a question. How do you get on your city's list?
Call the city.
And say that you are being on the solicit list.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
It's, so going through our two.
I have that. Wow. But
people can't read.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you've never opened the door when I brought you books.
I just don't.
So just some of the mass scalings, these are the ones we deal with a lot. One is you've won the lottery. This is a very big scam. It'll come even in a certified letter. It looks official. It has seals and stamps. They will have very specific information about you, your name, address, what you've won. Sometimes they'll include a check in there, a small portion of a check. It's a fraudulent check. And what they do is they'll say, hey, this is like faith money. So what we want you to do is deposit the check and send us a fee to process your lottery. And then the person will turn around and send them money through wire transfer, which is not traceable. You think this doesn't happen? This actually happens quite often, unfortunately. So once the check goes through the bank, the check gets bounced, and then the person's now responsible for the loss in their checking account. But they've taken their money and they've sent it to somebody else. Same thing, you've won a prize. It'll be something small like a cruise, maybe a trip. Again, the same scheme as send us a little bit of faith money and then we send you the prize. The checks come through the mail a lot. We get people bringing them into our police station. They're very small amounts, and maybe a few thousand dollars. They look legit. They'll have a bank stamp, Bank of America, bank routing numbers. So we always tell people, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. No one sends you free money in the mail. And we always tell people, no matter who you are, if you get a bad check like that and you're not sure, always take it to the bank. The bank can verify it right away if it's a good check. fake charities asking for money. This usually comes from phone solicitations. A big one is saying, hey, we're the sheriff's department and we're soliciting money. We don't solicit, law enforcement does not solicit money over the phone. We have our own way, just like anybody else, of how to solicit money for any type of charities.
Although unions do.
I was just going to say, you got to watch that.
Our union does not solicit money over the phone. We do it different ways, but for the sheriff's department, we do not solicit money over the phone.
Yeah, but there are a lot of others that aren't sheriff. Let's say I'm with the police union, or you support a law enforcement.
AOCDS, or we had firefighters.
Yes, but those most likely are not legit.
Companies. Oh, they're not.
We tell people do not solicit to anything over the phone. If you want to donate directly to go directly to that person.
Yeah.
Lunch seminar saying, hey, we have free lunch. Come, we're going to talk to you about your Medicare, your benefits. And then when they get them there, then that's when they start building that relationship. And, sign this, fill out all your information. Give us your name, address, phone number, social security number, all that kind of stuff.
Well, some of those are legit, but it's just a very heavy sale. It's a real hard push on you. You say, I'm not, there's no free lunch. You go for a lunch and they're paying for it. They're going to work you.
They want something for their
hospital. Yeah, they want your business, but.
And again, if you do get a seminar, let's say for AARP, call your local AARP office. Hey, are you guys putting on the seminar? Because if it's a legit AARP meeting, they're not going to be soliciting that information. So again, it's just like fact-checking the information you're getting. Another big one, believe it or not, are psychic scams. They'll call on the phone and they'll say, you're going to have some financial problems coming. And then a week later, they're going to send a bogus letter saying, hey, just so you know, someone just took $3,000 out of your account. And then that person will say, well, we're going to send you money. And it's just a whole, it's a crazy triangle of fraud. But these are the most common we get with mail scams. On the computer, this is a huge, huge one right now. The biggest one we're dealing with right now is they'll call you and say, hey, there's a virus detected on your computer. So we're going to take care of it for you for $250. But what I need is your IP address. So the person will give, they'll walk them through to give them the IP address. They will mirror your computer and they'll start downloading everything off your computer. And then what will happen is they'll hijack the computer. And they'll say, well, you're not going to get your computer back until you pay us $500, then $500. But by the time it gets reported to law enforcement, they've given them maybe $4,000 or $5,000 plus all their information on their computer. And they do this to capture your personal data. Same thing with emails coming. I don't know about you, but if I check my spam and my emails, I mean, it is out of control. I mean, I don't even know where it comes from. Me personally, I don't open anything that I don't know. I know what I pay my bills to. I know what I have email services with. There is a whole thing that on the HTTPS, the URL, if it has an S on the end, it's usually a secured website. If it does not, it's a phishing website. So all I have to tell people with this was just, again, if it's too good to be true or it looks weird, it's spelled differently, it says Bank of America, like the little things. Believe it or not, if you start to read the emails, you'll see all the discrepancies in the email.
Yeah, a lot of misspelling. That's a real
thing. Yes.
And bad grammar.
Yes.
Another one we have right now are sweetheart scams with the elderly. Most of it's coming through Facebook. Most, with this population, a lot of them do have Facebook because they connect with their families, their loved ones, their relatives. So this is how Facebook scams work. They will go, if you're not private on your Facebook, they will go into your Facebook and they'll start reading your posts and they'll go pick your family members up and they'll start grabbing names and they put together who's who, your daughter, your granddaughter, your husband's nephews, whatever. And they start finding out your, kind of like your personal history. They will check your ethnicity, where you're from. A common one we get is with, in Stanton, we have a big Vietnamese population. So a lot of times the scammers will say they're from Vietnam, and in Vietnamese culture, you take care of your family. So if a loved one that you don't even know is contacting you from Vietnam saying we need help, we need money, they will send money out of the goodness of their heart. And what they do is they will message them for months and they will build a huge relationship with them. Send pictures, talk about family, talk about the culture. And this is what we do for each other. And then they'll start wire transferring money. When I was at Anaheim, where I worked, I had a case where a lady had sent $82,000 to a family member in Vietnam because she legit thought it was a family member because of the Facebook information, right? I'm a cousin of so-and-so. And just, oh, I know who that is. And so it makes it familiar to you and who they know. So make sure that your Facebook accounts are private. You go through and take anybody off you don't know. If someone friends request you that you don't know, I'm sorry, you're not my friend. I know who my friends and family are. Again, we talked about the lottery scams, worker at home investment scams, especially with a population who stays home and they don't work. Something like, hey, do you want to do something from home? This is easy. And they'll send information, they'll send mail, and then that's how it kind of gets started. So if you do have parents or anybody, and they do have Facebook, don't be afraid to go on their Facebook and check it for them, because a lot of it is they may not know the safety and security and how to change their settings, and go through their messaging and see if anyone's been messaging them or soliciting them. You might be kind of surprised at the messages they might be getting through Facebook.
On that, on the computer thing real quick, on that HTTP, if it has the S, you can pretty much guarantee it's secure. So it would be HTTPS. So if you look at any email URL that you get or click here, the links that click here, one thing that I noticed is if you hover your mouse over that link, the real address will show up. And so if you're unsure or if it has an S, but it still looks weird, just hover your mouse over it and about 10, 11 seconds later, the actual real sender of the address will show up and you'll see it doesn't match.
And then just open it?
No. Don't click on it. Just put your mouse over it like you were going to click on it. But don't click on it. And then you'll see it doesn't even match. And then you can delete it.
Okay, these are our top three reports that we take quite often right now. So IRS calls. I don't know about any of you in here, but I've never been able to get a hold of the IRS.
No.
Yeah. And if I owe them money, they're going to take it out of my paycheck or they're just going to ask me a letter saying I owe money. Okay. The IRS will never call you and solicit information from you. Just hang up the phone. A lot of times they spoof the number. So we'll say IRS. It'll say state of California. It'll say U.S. government. This is something that they do when they spoof the phone. They're all Google numbers. They could even spoof your own phone number. They can spoof a relative's phone number, so it actually looks like calling. This one, believe it or not, the grandparent scam. They'll get a call saying this is the police department. This is one we're dealing with in Orange County right now. They'll say this is the police department. Your grandchild's in jail. They need bail money to get out. This is how you can send the money. And they'll have their names. Again, most of that stuff's off social media information, and they'll give them the name and say, send us Apple gift cards, okay? Or wire transfer money. Apple gift cards is a big one. Believe it or not, people will send what they do on the gift cards. You scratch off the back, there's a number. They give them the number over the phone, and that's instant cash. It's untraceable money, okay? Again, the only person who's going to call you from jail will be a call from that person in jail, saying this is the Orange County Sheriff's. Bob Smith is in custody. He's wishing to contact you. And then if you have any doubt, you're going to call the jail and see if that person's in custody. Hopefully none of your grandkids or family members aren't in jail.
I've heard they do it from out of the country too.
Yes.
Like they'll call and say your grandson is
yes.
in the jail in Mexico.
Yes.
Most people know where their kids are going to be.
Yes.
They don't know correct. Where their grandkids
or nieces or nephews or anybody in that family tree.
Well, I have one that relates to this, connects. Like, so the grandparent scam, my mother-in-law recently passed, but about 2 years ago. So my oldest son is senior now, but in the summers, you know, we travel to Arizona to play in his baseball tournaments at a high-level team. So him traveling was not unheard of, right? So he would go to Florida, he'd go to Arizona. So 2 summers ago, my mother-in-law got a phone call, and it sounded like my son, her grandson. She knew that he traveled a lot, and he picked up the phone and called her, and it was something to the effect of, grandma, I need help. We're traveling to Arizona for my baseball and we just broke down and, you know, no one has their phone. And of course she says, Mason, is this you? And he's like, yeah. And, you know, puts her in a panic. They got into an accident. So now she's about ready to have a heart attack because she thinks her son is on the side of the road. But he's like, I just need money, grandma. Can I have your credit card? And, you know, I can't get a hold of mom and dad. And so fortunately, she called us and was like, are you going to get him? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's sitting right here. You know? So my husband, she kept him on the phone. And my husband sped down there and got on the phone and like, let them have it. And of course they hung up. But she was convinced that my son was hurt on the side of the road and she would have given anything, any amount of money.
And they know the personal information. I got the same call. I was at a Rotary convention in England. And same call, hey, so-and-so, you know, broke down, serious, needs help. I go, really? That's funny, because he's standing right next to me here. And he was. I go, Jim, you okay? I mean, it's amazing. That's it is. Stuff.
Well, now in AI, they can mimic the exact voice.
So it's scary. You say that because my mother-in-law was like, it sounded just like Mason. And I was like, well, mom, he's right here, you know. So we had to take him down so she could see that he was okay. But yeah, it's scary.
It's incredible at what lengths they will go to get a buck out of you, basically, because that's what they're doing it for. The biggest one with telemarketers is they're very aggressive. They use scare tactics. They'll yell at you. They'll scare you into doing things. Just hang up. You know, unfortunately with cell phones, we can't block calls like the old days with landlines. We could call the phone company and say, block these calls. There are apps on the phone that you can block the call, but the problem is it's so relentless. As soon as you block that one, they've already made a number and they're calling you back. So when spam's calling me, I don't answer. I block it on my iPhone. You can block it, but sometimes I can't even keep up with it on my own phone. So anybody who telemarkets, I don't even hang up. I usually answer my personal phone, FBI, and then they hang up right away.
Sarah, how do you prevent? Like, I've had it where they're spoofing my number, and then I'll get a phone call from a person that says, yeah, I'm returning your call. And I'm like, I didn't call you.
They're soliciting you to elicit a conversation. Oh, I got a call. This is a reference. This. No,
I get that mortgage. I get that all the time. I understand you want a mortgage loan. Okay. You still have 1,000 bucks on. I mean, you know, it's so bogus.
I just hang up. I don't even know.
But if you're a senior, you're susceptible to that kind of, especially if they come across with the, hey, you're in default. If you don't call today, bad things are going to happen. We're going to come out there. We're going to have a warrant for your arrest or all that stuff. Yeah.
We're outside in front of your house. They're not.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Again, just briefly, the TV or radio sending products, they overcharge shipping and handling fees. Products that are frequently fake sold over radio or TV is like weight loss products, fraudulent mortgage type stuff, and medications. And again, nobody keeps an eye on all these people, so anyone can pay to have an advertisement put up. Again, in person, door to door, family is the number one. Family, you'd be surprised how many reports where it's family related fraud, right? Taking advantage, having access. Going into records, going to the bank, changing accounts, all that stuff. Investment fraud's a big one. Even guardian and conservator fraud is a big one. Trusting someone to handle your affairs. You know, we always tell someone, make sure you've checked that person. They have licensing. They're in a legit business for conservatorship. The county has conservators for those who don't have family that can take care of themselves. Even lawyers. We always caution people when you're doing legal document, really read what you're signing because there's going to be clauses and stuff in there that you're not aware of. The biggest one is caregivers, unfortunately. Private caregivers, we always tell people if you're going to have a private caregiver, make sure they're in a legit company, they're licensed, they do background checks on their employees. A lot of people will get caregivers off the internet, you know, they'll reach out to them on Facebook. Hey, I'm a caregiver. We don't know who they are. And now you just allowed that stranger into your home that hasn't been checked or licensed or anything like that. Check fraud is a big one. They just basically will get your account off the bank. When they access the records, they'll just get the routing number and they start making checks. most of the time, by the time we get the financial stuff, it's been going on for so long because it's usually a little at a time, a little at a time. And then we go through the records, you can see clearly about what's been taken. So when we talk about records and stuff like that, you know, if you have someone that you're taking care of, make sure that it's a trusted family member who only has one access to these records. Don't give every family member access to the records. You know, unfortunately, you don't know what everyone's in your family, what they want to do or what their intentions are.
You know, speaking of real quick on that in person, I heard one just the other day, which I had never heard before. It was my brother-in-law, and he just turned 80. He was going to an ATM, getting money out, and he saw some guy standing over there. And so he takes money, puts it in his wallet, starts around. Goes, hey, sir, you dropped some money here. And he picks up these five $1 bills. Says, here, you dropped these. And my brother, he's still pretty sharp. Says, no, I didn't. He goes, yeah, check your wallet. He goes, no, I'm not taking my wallet out for you. And then the guy splits.
Yeah, that happens to everybody. That's just not seniors. That's a whole thing about people
you
watching.
You really fall for that if you saw, well, here's the money that came out. Yes. No.
A lot of times they'll distract you. So when you take your card out, your ATM is still active, and then you'll walk away and they'll go in and take money out while the ATM is still active before you end the transaction. That happens in general to a lot of people, unfortunately. So that's just being aware of your surroundings in general.
Oh, another person one that's not there. Confidential marriages.
Oh, yes.
What is that?
Oh my God.
We'll get to that. Yeah, I'll get the.
That's on our topic, I think.
Yes.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
About that last time. Yeah. Going back to family members, a lot of times the family members take advantage so they feel they're in control. Their parents have money. They want the house. They want, you know, all the stuff you've worked hard for. So they almost have an entitlement to it. So they will try to do fraudulent means if they have to, especially once the parent becomes impaired or they're unable to take care of themselves. They'll sign documents, they'll do fraud, you know, and not all your, I'm not saying all your family members are bad, but sometimes the greed will take over and then they will go to whatever lengths it takes. That's why it's always important to say you have a trust, you have things legally documented to protect you down the line. Unfortunately, even professionals take advantage. A big thing right now is Medicare fraud. We ask when you go to your provider to do medical, check your billing. Okay. Medicare is very generous when it comes to taking care of people, but people take advantage of that. In Irvine, there was a doctor who just got arrested by the district attorney's office for frauding people millions and millions and millions of dollars out of billing for Medicare. I will tell you, I'm a culprit. I don't check my medical billing all the time. My insurance takes care of it. I don't have to owe, thank goodness. And I just, you know, leave it to my medical insurance to take care of. But
so the victim's not you, it's the insurance company that's paying.
Well, they're billing you for business, for stuff that you're not really paying for. And some people may have to pay a copay or may have to pay a balance, but they're not sure what exactly the services are paying. So, if you do an ER visit, check all those things and be like, well, I never had that test done, but man, that costs $3,000. So they're making money out of profit off you.
Sometimes they do it by putting codes.
Correct. Correct.
You can't, it doesn't show you
yes.
exactly what the procedure is.
Yes.
It's the code.
And there is a law in place that for medical billing, they have to code and name what you're being billed for. So if that is a concern, call them out on it and call the hospital and be like, hey, what is this? And or call your insurance company and ask them to send you what this is. And you can question it saying, hey, I didn't have this test done. They want you to be aware because it's costing them on the backside.
Sure.
And they're paying.
And premiums are going up on their end.
And then the next generation.
I actually had that happen. So in October, I had to go to the ER for a pretty bad burn and that got infected. And so when I got my bill, and they had to give me like tetanus and a couple other shots, the burn center thing. And then they list three injections. And I was like, well, I was pretty cognizant because, you know, I only got two. So I had to get them. But the amount of work I had to go through to get to them to say, I never got this shot. And, you know, then of course, like go back to the ER and then go to the billing people there. And finally they took it off. I didn't have to pay for it, yeah. But it was still like, whoa, you guys, this is still, I only had two injections. I had three.
They count on people not being that tenacious.
Yeah.
Just some examples of, like, going back to medical or caregiver frauds. Again, they will take the medical bills and try to do a reimbursement for themselves, saying that you to get money reimbursed from your insurance carriers. Also for caregivers, we ask, you know, don't give them access. Like, here's my credit card, go pay for groceries. But please don't do that. You know, there's other ways that you can have your caregiver have funds for you, but not giving them, like, your checking book, like your checkbook or your wallet. Seniors, I'm very trusting, you know, like, here's my wallet, just go give what you need, you know, and then they're taking all that information. Okay. So just be aware of how you provide your information out to people. A lot of times we had a case with a caregiver who was just going to the person was very capable of taking care of themselves 100%. They were just in senior living and she was there to walk her dog. She was the dog walker. So she met her on the internet, wasn't a licensed, you know, there's licensed dog walkers. Okay. They have a company, they have to go through background checks, all that stuff. But she just solicited her on Facebook, said, "Oh, I saw you have a dog, you know, and you're senior. I live in your neighborhood." Well, she didn't. She lived in LA County. She drove all the way down every day to walk this lady's dog. Okay. And she was recently a widow. So for her, it was company and she befriended her. And then as soon as we knew it, she'd go in the house. Can I use the restroom? She'd sneak off in the bedroom and start taking information. And $40,000 later in a 2 month period, luckily she called us finally and we were able to get the person. So that's just how easy, it can happen, especially for widowed seniors. You know, it's a friendship that they target widowers because they're lonely. They want to build a relationship, a trust, you know, to have a friend, someone they can trust. And kind of going like, if your parents or my parents have friends that I don't know, all of a sudden they're friends. I'm like, who are you? Why are you a 30-year-old being a friend to my 85-year-old mom? You know, yeah. So those are things to think of, you know, like, why is this person a friend? I don't know you. No. And I always ask my mom, hey, mom, have you talked to anybody today? My dad's pre-dementia, so he talks to everybody. So dad, did anyone call you today? So I have to check his phone and just make sure and safeguard my dad when it comes to that kind of stuff.
That happened with my mother at the grocery store. Some lady just started chatting her up. Mm-hmm. And they exchanged phone numbers. Yes. And then she called her and was chatting her up. And then my mom gave her, you know, brought her in, let her do some house cleaning. Yeah, she was going to take care of things for her. And it took a lot of convincing to get rid of her. Yes. But we also lost my mother's diamond earrings. Yes. So, things
it happens quickly.
You know, it happens very, yeah.
Yes.
But she was upset with me. Like, why don't you trust her? Why are you acting this way? Because it's weird that a 30-year-old would want to come and make friends with you.
This generation is the last of the best of the best.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, right?
I agree. I agree.
Great humans, right? Yeah. And yeah. Very kind, been there, done that people. And you want to trust people. I mean, come on, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah,
it says most people to know.
In the Bible, it says
you trust your neighbor,
right?
Yeah. I want to trust my neighbor,
right?
But I'm wary of my neighbor. I got the long eye on my neighbor.
Trust the bear.
Yes, trust the bear. Exactly. We need to trademark that. You know, it's going to be our thing. Hybrid financial abuse is when more than one abuse is going on. Whether it could be physical, it could be financial. So those are what's called hybrid. There's more than one crime going on against the elder.
And don't those caregivers usually try to isolate them so family can't
do isolation? So complications, basically the reluctance to end the abuse as a friend or family member, fear of retaliation, shame, dependency on the abuser for assistance, especially if they're alone. They need them for health care or for economic reasons. Okay. There's physical and emotional suffering that goes on because at the end of the day, they befriend them and trust them. And it creates almost like a codependency on each other because I need her to take care of me, but I don't have options, right? And they're too scared to report it. So what happens? They lose money, time, retirement income, homes, residence, self-esteem, and inability to provide for oneself. And we all want to be dependent adults. So when you start taking those away, it feels like our dependence is getting taken away. And that's a big deal for anybody. I don't care what age that you are.
And again, going by why it's not reported, the biggest thing is they're ashamed that it could happen to them and they're too embarrassed. And that's the biggest reason why it doesn't get reported. And then a lot of it's the dependency that takes place. They groom them, okay, to be dependent on them, and they isolate. You can't talk to your friends or family because they know your friends and family are going to start questioning what's going on. So they'll call, oh, your mom's not available right now. She's in the shower. Oh, your mom's not available right now. She's on a walk. And then all of a sudden your parents aren't becoming available. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why can't I get a hold of my own mom? You know, because this person is doing the isolation with them and making them dependent on that person, not in a good way. And again, not all caregivers are bad. There's great caregivers out there, but these are just things. Signs of financial abuse, unpaid bills, because there's no money to pay the bills because it's gone. Lots of junk mail because they're sending out their information, so they're going to get it back, right, with the solicitation. Sizable bank withdrawals and unusual credit card activity. Banks have things in place when, especially for seniors or for anybody, but when you go into withdraw a certain amount of money, it's $10,000 or over, they have to ask you a series of questions. Are you withdrawing this money against your will? Do you know the person who's asking you for this money? What is this money used for? And if you don't check those questions with the bank, they will not give you the money, okay? One thing I did with my mom's account, I went to the bank and said, hey, we're gonna put some security measures on her account. She has to do verification of this, this, and this. So if anyone tries to come in and use it, the bank will flag it that we put security measures on my parents' account. The caregiver not doing their service and providing for the adults. The house is a mess. The medications aren't refilled. There's no food, that kind of stuff. Changes in personality of the person, right? Your elder person was a happy-go-lucky person. Now they're isolated and depressed and they don't feel good about themselves. Missing valuables, that's a big one. The unusual new friends, new names on accounts, okay? We had a lady who money was being taken out of her account. We didn't know why. So when we contacted the bank, the person called the bank, gave all the personal information and added themselves to the account. And the bank gave them their own ATM and checking account. So unfortunately, that person's money was quickly taken out of. One thing with seniors and most of us, we own homes, right? We worked very hard to own a home. There's a lot of equity in there. Okay. And people know that. Okay. So unfortunately, if I go on the Orange County tax website and I type in an address, I can see a value of a home and I can see what the home is worth and I can see the information and I can be like, oh, that's a senior person lives there and I can see how much is. And they'll target stuff like that to say, oh, Elizabeth has $800,000 in her home. That's somebody that I want to target because, you know, her home's almost paid off. She's got some good cash sitting in there. I'm going to build a friendship with you and see if I can solicit that money from you. So there's different ways of how they think of what your worth is and why you're targeted. Okay. The phone rings constantly because they make friends and then that telemarketer who's shady will tell another telemarketer and then they're in their own group of business of this kind of stuff. Couple more signs, unusual or quick changes in a will or beneficiary. That's very common. A lot of times you won't even know if your family member made a change in the will or beneficiary because the person's pressuring them to do that. So you might not even be aware that it's happening. If someone uses an attorney or in a service, let them know, hey, if anyone comes in to change the beneficiaries, I'm on my parents', I take care of all their stuff. So can you call me if something weird happens? Because I want to know like what's going on, just in case. Again, the social isolation calls from debt collectors because now they've collected debts that may not be theirs as far as someone else is using their information to open up accounts. Again, the strange charges on the medical bills and the home becomes in state of repair because the money's disappearing and they can't take care of the home. And why are elders targeted? That's where the money is, right? You work hard, you have a pension, you got a nice house, you plan for your nest egg and your retirement. Not a lot of people do these days. Again, that's why this generation is a smart generation. If retired often at home, you're accessible. Again, a lot of them who have
any type of memory problems are targeted. And we're trusting, right? It's a trusting group of people. So what can you do to protect those if you work in the environment or just in general is safeguard financial information. Make sure it's in a safe place, a safe, or maybe you have access to it, you take care of it. Make sure they don't make copies of it and hand it out to people. Safeguard personal information. You can put fraud alerts on their credit. Use safe practices on your computers and hang up the phone. That's the biggest thing I tell people. Just hang up the phone. Unless it's your family member, don't talk to anybody on the phone. That's the huge one.
You know, the key to every time it rings and there's delay. As soon as I hear the delay, I'm out of here. Yes.
I like that fun with them, actually.
I do occasionally.
Ask them where they were calling from. What intersection is that? Oh, I used to live in that area.
I like when they go through their whole spiel because they waste their time.
Yeah.
They think they got a sale. No, thank you.
A guy who wanted to fix my computer, and I go, well, that's what I do. I fix computers. And he's like, oh, and he hung up the phone. Again, review financial statements, check the statements, check the accounts. Is there money being withdrawn? If you do hire a person to do any repairs in your home, make sure you get estimates, right? They're going to charge you $5,000 to change your electrical outlets. That's a lot of money, but they know you're not going to question it, so you're going to pay it. So make sure it's someone who's got a license, they have reviews, and get other estimates. So if someone says, I can do that for $1,000 and that's what it should cost, but someone's saying it's $5,000, then you know there's might be a scam going on there. Don't sign anything until you verify the company. A lot of times they'll come in, hey, pay me cash, I'll do the work. There's no contract sign and they're gone and the work doesn't get done. If they don't understand a financial transaction, don't sign it. Ask for help. Reach out. Call the police department. We encourage people to call anytime they get a scam call, anything in the mail. We'd rather have them call us than ask it, hey, is this a scam? We'll answer that phone call 100,000 times. We'd rather answer that call than have to go out and take a police report because you just had $20,000 taken out of your account. And unfortunately, we get those calls when it's too late, when people call. If anything suspicious, you see checks or money wires, put a stop to it. The fraud alert is free. You can do that. Most banks will set that up for you through a banking service. If you are a victim or someone does have has access, you get to change your phone number. Make sure you shred cards if they're not being used. Contact the banks or credit companies if you have any concerns with that. We ask that you call and make a report. Again, we don't know it's a problem if no one's reporting it. Okay. And a lot of people don't report it because they're embarrassed or ashamed. We understand that. Okay. But you're a victim. And at the end of the day in law enforcement, we do want to find the people that are doing this. And you know how we find it? We track the money. Okay. So we follow the money. If you follow the money, you'll always find out who has the money. If someone is taking advantage or there's a problem, you can get a civil restraining order in court against that person. There's crisis hotlines that can be called. Call Adult Protective Services. We use Adult Protective Services all the time in law enforcement. When we think this or have a suspicion of any type of elder fraud or abuse, we have to call them. It's a you shall call. I have a list of government agencies. Seek legal assistance. And there's a website that talks about elderjustice.gov. It's through the state of California.
Do you ever follow up with offshore suspects? Do you have a working relationship like Interpol or some?
We do. We do FBI and Interpol.
Yeah.
So we do. Again, when it goes out of the country, it's a little bit hard to track, but the FBI does collect all that data. Here's some. Yes, sir.
When somebody call you and you have a conversation with them.
Yes.
And did they record your, the voice and try to imitate your voice? Yes. So they got kind of a harm to you.
Yes. And they do that on purpose. So when they call your family member, they'll hear your voice in the background. So again, just hang up the phone. That's the best advice I can give you, right? Unless you know the person, if it's any strange, like kind of back in the day, it was stranger danger.
Yeah.
Go run tell, like. We had black parents back in the day, so I still use those mottos. When in doubt, call us out. That's what I like to tell people. If you're not sure, our dispatch centers are 24 hours for all law enforcement in Orange County. So you can call anytime with any question. And again, we can answer that question. These are the resources that we use. We do AARP.org. There's security.gov, the FBI. If you go to the FBI website, there is a senior scam section and it will list in depth all the scams. I've only brushed on maybe 20% of them because there's so many. And then obviously the reporting agencies. And this is where we get the our information. The National Association of Adult Protective Services, if you don't know what that is, it's a great organization to sign up for and get information from them because they really put out a lot of this information out to organizations. Sarah, is it possible to get a copy of your PowerPoint? I do have a copy of my PowerPoint for you. You're so great.
Oh, yes.
Again, I'm just touching on a very small portion of what's going on, but today I hope it kind of just opened your eyes a little bit to what we feel very passionate about in law enforcement when it comes to these types of crimes. We have like a zero tolerance with it. So if this is something that you're interested in taking back or doing this type of presentation, let me know. And I can also put you in contact with your crime prevention person for your city if this is something that you want to learn more of. Again, a small glimpse. If there's something that you want to go in depth of, I can always have one of our investigators who does investigate these things. But I kind of think we touched the basics today and to kind of get the juices flowing of what's out there. So I appreciate your time. Any other questions or concerns?
Thank you
very much.
I really appreciate it. Like I said, you guys, I'm and a lot of this, I'm so appreciative that you made this specific to our older adult.
Thank you.
More mature adult. And there is other, you know, things like when you came to Villa Park and talked about some of the scams that don't have to be older person, but this is specific to us because it's such a vulnerable population of individuals and they're so trusting. Was it you had a question or something?
Just one. Yeah, you have your call. Yes, ma'am. I think I can. Yes.
It was vulnerable scene.
I was quick. I did it in the beginning.
You're welcome to stay fresh, or you're welcome.
I actually have another meeting at 11:30, but it was an honor to be here, and I appreciate
you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Moving on, agenda item 7, review and discuss 2023 housing and transportation legislative bills. So, I don't know if there's any specific bills that people are concerned with or want us to try and get someone to talk about. I did print off some of the California Department of Aging, some of the legislative bills probably should be in the agenda, so everyone could have had.
You should have a copy of the list was attached to the agenda.
I thought that.
Oh, I did this one.
Yeah. But I went on last night and printed out something that has a whole lot more from this, and it was kind of hard to follow from these because there's some that overlap. So what I would like to suggest is that I give this list to you. And we move this to the next. It's so in depth, and I want to be able to have everyone have an opportunity to read them instead of
maybe just synopsis of each one.
Yeah, it's a synopsis of each one.
And then, what do you want to do in the next?
Move this to the next meeting so we can discuss this, or have people give input on what they feel that we can connect and have people kind of talk about how this bill, either pro or con on what we feel is. Are full with housing and transportation. And these are broken into sections. So actually there's first one is the housing, but then there are some in there for other that would be applicable for some of the other committees like health, wellness. That's something we can just summarize the ones that are for housing and transportation.
So you want to review and discuss it? Do you want to be able to take action on it at that time?
Forwarding
it somewhere or bringing it to the SCAP general meeting?
Yeah, yes. And then, because I'd love to be able to have somebody from the office of the individual who's offering the bill, you know, if their district office has a representative that can come and speak to us on it, stand where they stand, or give us more information on how we can, you know, is it something that we need to get involved in, and, you know, send letters or reach out to the representatives to be able to support this. Okay, any questions on that?
That's a AB 478, and then that name, is that the person that?
That's the
assembly bill, SB is Senate bill. But
well, I mean, yeah, I know that part, but I mean the names of the assembly members, they're not Orange County.
None of these are.
So
some of these ones though.
Are these separate to this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So these are all the bills that are in line with the SPLAP rating?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, for helping the team, or whether it's housing, or...
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Item 8, the we have one.
The one sent to you guys.
It's attached to.
It's attached to the agenda.
Yeah.
I have no other update other than what's in the,
okay,
the information that's there.
Okay.
I think is self-explanatory. Unless anyone has any questions regarding it, I can bring it back. My question is: do you guys do you want this report ongoing at every meeting?
We've always had it, but yeah, I think we should.
Sure.
At least that way it's there for reference.
Right. And
yeah,
then if there's a big jump in the numbers, then we said it's there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then moving on, under new business. So I'm super happy to report, thanks to the fabulous Colleen, the ad hoc committee to address the bylaws. Remember, we were discussing about having to make some needed changes to the bylaws so that we could be more effective as an organization to kind of stay in line with some of the concerns that some people might have had regarding what is our role, what do we do, and how are we effectively communicating. Remember, so it was Pauline. There was four of us, and yep, and Sandy and myself, and boy, I tell you, it was really you. I mean,
it was a team effort.
It's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, and they're done.
And we did the majority.
Yeah, and so we would meet and discuss changes, this, that, suggestions, and what probably in the normal world would probably have taken like 2 months. I think we accomplished in 2 weeks with several phone calls. Can't meet here, I mean, just amazing. So you really deserve the pat. And, you know,
thank you.
Anyways, so that's done. So now the next step is it's going to.
Yeah, where it's at right now is the committee's done with it. It's now in ball court. The ball's in our court right now. It's being reviewed by Claudia and Renee. Right now, they have some tweaks that I'm kind of working through with them. Once that's done, it will go from me to Claudia, from Claudia to Stephanie, from Stephanie to County Council. County Council will do its review of it. And then when they come back with whatever changes they have or whatever, then at that point, it'll be put on the agenda for the full council to consider. At that point, it will be County Council's blessing, staff's blessing, committee's blessing. And now here we are, council. This is what we're recommending. What do you want to do? So I'm hoping we may get to that sometime, hoping like July, August at the latest, because we're not meeting in June.
Right.
Yes. So, and I know it takes time with going from all the different.
Well, hopefully they are as swift as you were. So.
I have no control over it. It leaves my hand.
I wouldn't say the county council is going to be swift.
Well, I mean, they've got to.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah, they've got to do their due diligence to protect everybody, you know, the county.
So in the past, what What have they done? Like, will they make comments to you and that those things they want to change or they don't like?
Possibly.
Or
look, liabilities. What's your
yeah.
legal? Hey, you can't do that.
So can you briefly just summarize what the recommendation is? Just for my benefit.
There are several recommendations in there that pertain to the structure of the committee. And I don't want to get into too much details because it's not on the agenda other than a status report on it. But there's the structure of the committee, there's hours, there's the overall operations of the committee.
The whole SCAC committee?
The whole SCAC committee.
Why wouldn't, you wouldn't run that by the general first before we go through this whole process? Say, okay, everybody's approved it, here it is. But we don't like this, we want to change here.
Okay, because when it comes back, at that point, it's going to have Coco's blessing. And I don't want to be going back and forth because they're going to tell us, like, if there are tweaks to it that the committee wants to make that are not, quote unquote, substantive in terms of legalities. And of course, it's not putting it in front of the council and saying, this is it, it's yay or nay. If there are some things, they will have to come back to us and then we'll have to go back to council.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just seems like a kind of a long way around. If you had input, say, here's what we're suggesting, because I don't suspect we're going to do anything significant. Here it is. Okay, this is what we're submitting to the chain now.
What I've been told is it usually goes to county council before it goes to the full committee. That is what I've been told.
But then there's going to be, if there's changes, it's a problem. It's got to go back to county council.
Well,
that's correct.
But
one way or the other, whether it goes here or it goes back to council, it's got to go back and forth because if it goes to you guys first and you say we have all of these changes and county council hasn't even seen it,
right?
We go to county council and county council goes, can't do that, or yes, you can do that, no, you can't do that. You know, then we have to come back to the full council again.
But you're going to do that anyway because you're going to come back and say, here it is, council's made their recommendations, here's some things that you can't do. Okay, we accept that. That's the way it is. But what if it's not substantial? It's not changes that the council's going to get upset with. Say, okay, yeah, we bless this all. I just think that it's doing it backwards because by the time we see it, it's already been through this whole process. And so it's really reluctant to say, well, let's make a change. Well, you know, that's going to delay.
There shouldn't be any reluctance to make any changes because the whole goal of this is to get... make sure that the executive committee, or not the executive committee, the
full
council,
yes.
The full council has a complete understanding of what it is that's in that document. So when that document comes out for review with the agenda, the expectation that I have and staff has is that before we even get to the meeting, you guys are going to individually look at that document and you're going to be able to review it so you can come and have a constructive discussion at the meeting. Now, with the caveat, that is not that you call each other and go, hey, what do you think about this, that? Because we do not, there's no room for Brown Act violations at all. So you've got to kind of keep it within the realm of the legalities and the Ralph M. Brown Act that governs the business of this, of the committee. But I hear what you're saying, Jean. I'm just telling you, this is the process that I have been told is what we are following and what has been done in the past. I can't say I disagree with you. I would tend to think when we have a final document with everyone's input, that's when it would go to county council.
I think people are going to be reluctant to make a change when it's all the way said and done. It's already been through everything. I don't see people saying, well, this was minor, but I can live with what's there.
Can I add something? So some of the changes, if you will, that are proposed, thank you. Whether it goes to general counsel first or it goes to the county council first, certain individuals probably won't like it either way. You know what I'm saying? So,
but if we as a group do want to make a change, now it goes back to county council.
But
it goes to them twice.
True, but my understanding when we sat down to do this is the specific changes that have been discussed, you know, need to be changed. Are proposed in this document. And if there is any minor tweaking of like a wording or maybe the attendance or something like that, I don't see that as the bigger issue. It's getting the blessing on on major change that will change the structure and function of this as a group.
And you're right, Crystal. It shouldn't be an issue because we've already been talking about this. So yeah. I think the committee is well aware of the changes that were being proposed. So I can't believe a substantive change would have squeaked by with nobody picked up on. So
it'll be something that it's definitely, I really envision a robust discussion on this when it comes to the council. And that's not to say, well, COCO's already reviewed it. We can't make any changes. Not at all. That's not the intent.
Well, the robust discussion will be just what Crystal said.
Yeah.
Those don't like this change in direction. And it's going to be, okay, well, we're going to agree to disagree, but the majority is going to carry this.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's exactly, I agree.
That's the democratic process. Yeah.
So to be continued, but the ball is completely rolling, which I'm happy to see. Like, as I'm sure Mary, mentioned to you, it's addressing, I think, several people's concerns about the roles future. And functions and future of SCAC. And I think it does a really good
job. Which
you
couldn't do because of some
class. It just wasn't a class.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay, good. Well, good work, committee. Excellent.
Yep. They did an excellent job.
I think we just rode on your coattails, Ben.
You did not. Thank you. It's my pleasure to help out, but it was a good discussion. It was a good effort by everybody.
Good effort and being around for a long time was well needed. And I didn't think it was something that ever would be done.
All right.
Yeah. So, okay, old business. I think, Linda, we were kind of discussing last time that possibly there was somebody that you might be able to have.
Yeah, Kelly. She was going to be opening a new senior community in Orange. She changed jobs. Now she's going to be the executive director at a community in Villa Park. And I haven't heard back from her.
Okay.
So I know she's just settling into a new job, but I'll reach out to her again. Time today and tomorrow, so I'll let you know.
Okay.
That was going to be May.
Yeah. Kelly was.
She's Sunrise.
Kelly Felton. Yeah, Kelly Felton from Sunrise.
Okay,
but she's not at Sunrise, right?
Okay, and then June we're dark. July 13th we have that speaker from the Housing Network, so we're supposed to make that.
And that's what we were looking at having. We were going to have someone else as well, right?
It's the Mobile Homeless Rental Association also. It was like combined for July. But I think Charlene is the one that set that up. She's absent, so I'll
okay, check with Charlene.
And then in September, there's Sandy from OCTA. So August, we still need to get somebody, but that's why I'm hoping if we can get these bills for the next time, then maybe I can reach out to somebody from one of the district offices and ask them to come and speak with us. So kind of what bill is pertaining and how it's going to impact.
I'll always do that.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that one in terms of fairness.
Fairness. I mean,
in terms of if you're going to be discussing six bills and you only invite a speaker that's proposing one, as opposed to if there's an agency, a state agency, which I think there is a legislative affairs or an indifferent agency, as opposed to the actual sponsor. Or author of a bill, because why wouldn't you invite, if you've got six or seven bills, why wouldn't you invite someone from each of their offices to speak on
it? Usually time.
Then what's the criteria for selecting one over the other?
Our interests, our mutual interests, will we decide what it is.
Yeah,
the topic interest.
Yeah. Five of those bills may not be of an interest to us or critical. Yeah. One maybe.
Right.
And see, and I think it's better going to the author of the bill because we can ask directly, why this? Why did you exclude this? Why did you include this?
And I would like to see housing. We are housing and transportation.
Housing is a top topic right now.
Well, and some of these are not even Orange County. So, like for this housing, there's 4 different bills.
This is a document. You don't
have. The Senator Cabrero, his are all about senior housing.
There's three of them.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know where he is and if we could get some more, because these would affect us statewide, not just county.
Or we can get one of his staffers to come down.
Maybe. And have such a presentation. I don't know who it is.
He's
I don't
in
know.
LA,
he is in LA. I don't know. I didn't recognize.
I was aware
the staff bills. Person would yeah. be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
But you know, three of it right here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
budget request number two, housing.
Or we could to address your issue, we could go with the ledge rep from either ACCOC or League of Cities,
right.
which are broader, and they could give us a specific, okay, here, because they have their staffers up there talking yeah. to those folks.
Yeah.
And they don't have really a horse in the race, well, other than the direction they're given by the various groups, but at least we can get kind of an overall neutral presentation.
It looks like it's a woman, Anna Caballero, Senator for California.
You know what district she's from?
14th Senate District, which encompasses majority of Merced, Madera.
Yeah, I think we're better off we go with the ledge rep from ACCOC or League of Cities.
Okay, I can reach out.
And they will do that.
Yeah.
Especially ACCOC.
Speaker
Ellison.
Yeah.
Your specific
okay.
So.
Yeah, I will reach out to them. Any other comments on that? All right, 10 announcements of roundtable discussion.
Are you going to Washington?
Yes.
Let's maybe bring up some of these senior issues there with our.
Yes. Yeah. Are you going?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to say that this morning I received this text message. Hi, Elizabeth. Do you know someone who needs a live-in caretaker? Your old white female is available. I thought, oh my God, yeah, if wow. this doesn't fit right in.
Oh. Now, you're the FBI's address and number.
So you yeah. call me. Yeah.
Call this number. Yeah.
So do you know that person, the number it's coming
from? No, at all. It's a 949 number, but 702-2005,
wow.
I thought, oh my goodness gracious.
Well, another thing too, I have stuff on my phone that's from, it's literally, it's a 32546 number. And it says, my friends who are on Facebook have posted an update. And I get that all, like this right. thing, 32665. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so don't click on it.
I know.
Well, plus that's how they fish for.
Yeah.
Hey, approve me to be your friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've gotten that from folks that, gee, why are you sending this? I've been on your thing for years. I go, duh, it's bogus.
Yeah.
So most people are pretty savvy. Yeah. Go, that's bogus.
But it's sad to think that there's been so many people been taken advantage of, you lose your confidence in humanity when you think about all of the stuff out there.
And I'd like to mention another one because I thought, I've attended all these meetings. I've heard all these things about scams. I thought, you can't fool me. Well, okay. So I went to the computer. And before, when I had a little problem, it was easily taken care of. I went to Google. So back in December, I went to Google and asked for help. And this time, they asked for a dollar. I thought, oh, they didn't do that before, but okay, a dollar. And then it was $39.
Google
and then $54. Mm-hmm. And stupid me, I didn't realize I wasn't with Google.
Oh.
I was with the scam thing. So I immediately called the Teachers Credit Union, where I have my credit card. And I said, I've been scammed. And I can't put, she said, you need to close the account right away. Okay. Oh, and, but I got tonight, before I close it, I need to get over to Apple Store. I have an 8 o'clock appointment and I may need it to get the help. So I took the whole computer to the Apple Store. The guy just fixed it like nothing and didn't charge a penny. And the at the $59 and the came to $94 together. They didn't fix anything.
No.
And I never got to talk to anybody. It was just,
yeah.
I answered right. So then I got back from that appointment, called back the number and said, okay, I'm ready to close the account. All right. I didn't have that credit card for several weeks.
Right.
Okay. So then I got the new card. And those car charges were put to the new card.
Oh,
I said, but that was the whole point of getting the card.
Oh, wow.
The new card. Yeah. Why did you add this to the one? All right. So we'll take care. So then in February, those two things were deducted. Well, then comes the April bill. And $94 had been added.
You're paying the maintenance, but they're main. You're going to get that every month.
Monthly, yeah.
So I called back and I said, I thought this problem had been resolved. And now the $94, the two things have been taken away. Okay, we had problem resolved. But now I'm being charged the $94 back again.
It's not the same 94.
It was.
You're getting 94 for services. Yeah. You're on a service plan now.
You're on a monthly service plan?
I'm not on any service plan.
You may not think so.
No, I'm not on a service plan.
Yeah.
So
I had that.
That's their goal.
Yeah.
That's their goal.
I said, this thing has to be okay. Last month they didn't take it was $308 something. They only took $200 something. And I thought, well, I wonder why the difference was the $94.
And this is Google?
No, this is my
the private
the teacher's credit union.
Okay.
Teacher's credit union. And there's no service charge. Okay. Because I pay everything. I don't care how it is, how much it is. I pay everything in full. There's never a service charge. I never pay interest.
He's not saying service charge like you didn't make a payment. He's saying that what you didn't realize is that you signed up for a monthly subscription and that $94
Sign up for a monthly subscription.
But see, that's what a lot of those computer repair people do. That happened to me. I thought I was going through Google, and then I realized, how did I get this contract vendor? They go, we contract with Google, or we contract with Microsoft, and they're in India someplace. And I had to go to them and said, cancel. I don't want it, just cancel. Because they were doing a monthly thing.
Yeah, call the number that's on your statement, because you really have to put the phone number there. Then tell your credit union that you want to block this charge.
I have.
Another thing is to have a second credit card.
I do.
For doing online transactions with a very low limit. So for any shopping online or any kind of those recurring contract things, that's what if there's ever a problem, you always have your regular card and have that it's just isolated.
But I was with Google.
Yeah.
No.
So they're very smooth how they do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments or no? All right, well then, I look forward to seeing everybody on May
11th.
Yeah, you'll see them tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Tomorrow.
I've gotten a notice,
or at least
I went out.
Problem with some of my emails not getting to me, and some of the ones I'm sending not getting to other people, and then weird ones bouncing back when I reply.
I can forward it to you.
Thank you. I don't know. It might be on there. It got accidentally deleted because I get so many deleting.
We just heard from Easter Seals too. There is no longer a mask requirement there. So I was wondering when we got that.
Yeah.
On the medical facilities, you don't have to.
Yeah, there was.
And then also after the meeting is the public hearing.
You don't have to wear them in any medical facility.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, just say something.